That was awesome. Let's give them another little bit of love. Yeah. Wow, how beautiful. So it's my honor and pleasure to introduce our speaker this morning, Reverend Catherine Brenson. Welcome. She was ordained by the Association of Unity Churches in 1984 and served as senior minister of several Unity congregations, including Unity of Auburn. Through what she describes as a God job, she became the senior minister of Centers for Spiritual Living in Cape Coral, Florida. She's a fully licensed as a religious science minister as well. In addition to her Unity and religious science training, she holds a doctorate of clinical hypnotherapy and studied individually with Sarita Vasquez, mother and teacher of Don Miguel Ruiz of the Four Agreements. She is now semi-retired, I noticed that, and does guest speaking, workshops, coaching, practitioner work. And she attends numerous sports events to cheer on her four grandchildren. So we look forward to hearing her inspiring message today. Let's welcome Reverend Catherine.
Not well wishing. Just take that in for a minute, okay? Ernest Holmes talks about this. Treatment is not well wishing. And God said, peace, be still. It's on? Okay, great. This is fabulous. Okay. Treatment is not well wishing. When we do a spiritual mind treatment, we don't say, I absolutely know that John Smith is whole, perfect, and complete, and he is a vibrant being in divine mind, and his humanity is coming forth beautifully and bountifully. And then take a breath and say, well, I hope so. That does not cut it. When we treat for ourselves, we don't say, I am in the flow of infinite abundance and all I need is provided in divine order and divine timing. And then say, oh, but what if I can't pay my rent? When we give a spiritual mind treatment, we are talking about principle. We are talking about something that is set in motion by the law. And God is principle. And if there's nothing we get in science of mind more firmly and more truthfully, in my opinion, through the science of mind teachings, is the idea and the concept of God as principle, meaning it always works. If we work it, it works. If we don't work it, it works. Well, that's one of the best things I think Ernest Holmes ever said, was whether you think it's working or not, it is. Because when we say, oh, this doesn't work, what are we affirming? We're affirming it doesn't work, so therefore, naturally, it works, but it doesn't work the way we think it should. And we're going to talk a little bit about that if you stay for the workshop, about how we say we want something, we think we want it, but then are we really willing to commit ourselves to the process, to allowing that to come forth and to expand in our awareness to the point that it will become manifest because we have developed the mental equivalent. We all get tested over and over and over about these principles. And the more committed we are to these principles, the more serious we have to take them, because it's like things speed up and we're on a fast track. I joke about instant karma, but sometimes that's very true, that if you're on these teachings and you're really deeply immersed in these truths, and say you start talking very negatively about someone, very often it will just come right back and you'll find someone is talking very negatively about you or you're getting into a challenge. But we just keep working them. And the more we work the principles, the more we become believers that it does work. But I've had so many different opportunities to practice these principles. And so many times when I wanted to play victim. We are not victims. We're not innocent either. You get the concept? We're not victims, but we're not really innocent because obviously something we have done has set in motion, some belief system in us has set in motion everything that's going on in our lives. That doesn't mean we did it consciously, and that doesn't mean we ever, ever have to blame ourselves for what's going on. We don't say, oh, I'm terrible that this happened, it's my fault. No, we say, ah, another opportunity. And sometimes it's not so easy to say that, is it? But that's where the word responsible comes in. And to be responsible means that we have the ability to respond to a situation. A situation comes to us, and we don't have to get into victimness. We don't have to get into, ain't it awful? We can get into, how interesting, what am I going to do about this? But because we're still human, most of us, including me, have times when we think our lives are falling apart and everything is wrong and it will never work again. And I recently got that opportunity to go through that process. In 18 months ago, I really loved my ministry in Cape Coral, Florida. We had a great time, a great group. But I just got this real inner feeling, it's time to go home. And this is home for me. You know, I have my children, my grandchildren. It's time to go home. And so I really thought about it and prayed about it. And my associate minister was so ready to take over. You know, she's just an amazing woman. And she'd been, just sort of a staff minister. And then when I became senior minister, I made her an associate. And so she was really ready. So I thought, okay, it's time. I'm going to go home. And I knew where I wanted to live. And I love condo community called Woodside in Sacramento, right off Howe Avenue. And so I just thought, well, okay, I really want to live there. And I sort of imagined myself being there, did my treatment about my perfect home and the whole thing. And about, I don't know, maybe a week later, I just got this hit, Craigslist. So I went on Craigslist, and right there is a one-bedroom condo for rent, just, you know, everything that seemed perfect. I got on the phone, called the realtor. Within a half hour, I'd rented the place. You know, it was just a smooth thing. I moved. I didn't bring furniture. I brought what I could put in my car. And so I had to go scurry around and find stuff. Got all settled, and it was just the most amazing feeling of being home. I just thought, I'm home, and I'm not going to have to move for a long, long time because I rented it from an investment company, not an individual owner. So I thought, you know, they're not going to sell it. It's an investment company, right? And I'm so happy, and I was just telling everyone, I'm home, and if this is as good as it ever gets, that's perfect. I'm fine with that. But, you know, it wasn't really perfect in my mind, but it was really good. So a few months ago, about 3 months ago, I was at the clubhouse on the treadmill. I don't do that very often. But I was on the clubhouse on the treadmill on a Friday evening, and my phone rang. And it was a realtor who said, they're going to sell your unit. You have to move. You have 60 days to move. I cannot explain all the nonsense that I went through. I mean, it was like I was in tears before she was off the phone. And so I thought and I prayed, and where am I going to go? And I don't want to leave this community and the whole thing. And, you know, our minds just really go crazy sometimes. And we think, well, I won't have anywhere to live. No one will rent to me. What will I do? I noticed Lynn Sloan came in this morning, and I thought, you know, I know they have an RV. Maybe they'd let me stay in their RV. That's how crazy our humanness gets sometimes. But I sat down and I thought, well, I really want to live here. And maybe there's another unit. So I got really centered and prayed and did my treatment work. And then I called my practitioner. Now, everyone should have a practitioner. And so I called my practitioner, and I'm going on and on. She said, Catherine, stop it. Just stop. You know, everyone needs a practitioner. A practitioner needs a super practitioner, and a minister needs an off-the-chart practitioner. You know, because we have to stay more centered. So I'm going on about how terrible it is, and she's just saying, stop it right now. She said, I want you to tell me what you have told people about where you live, and be honest. What have you said about where you live? And so I started thinking, and I said, well, I really love it. I'm really happy here. If this is as good as it gets, that I'm fine with that. But I'd really like two bedrooms, and I'd really like one of the units with a bigger kitchen. She said, okay. See? Now, I don't think that I caused the people to sell the unit, really. But it might have just been one more little piece of energy that went into their decision. Because I later met the owner, and he said, you know, I was having a hard time. I was going to sell three units. I own 15. I was going to sell three, and I wasn't really sure which three to sell. But I decided on yours. Thank you so much. So then I just got really clear. Okay, I thought, I have 60 days. I don't have to be crazy. I don't have to run out and solve this problem tomorrow morning, which is kind of the way I tend to do things. So I just started affirming there's a perfect place for me, Woodside. And you know how we always add that little tagline, or something better? And it's very, very important to do that. But I didn't even want to do that because I didn't want something better. I wanted that, right? But I started doing my prayer work, and about a week later, I just got this little voice going in me saying, Zillow, Zillow, Zillow. Now, I didn't even really know what Zillow was. But I went online, and Zillow, okay, rentals. Okay, I pressed little buttons here and there on my computer, and all of a sudden, this two-bedroom in Woodside pops up. Oh, wow. So I called, and it was a Thursday, and she said, well, I can't sell it. I can't show it until Monday. And I said, okay, that's fine. So I'm thinking about it, and it was more than I really, on paper, there was no way I could qualify for this place, right? But I'm thinking about it. I could make it happen. It'll be okay. So I walked by it a few times, and I knew which unit it was, and got all that. And then on Friday, I had my Munch and Meet meeting. And Munch and Meet is a bunch of CSL ministers who get together once a month to kind of support each other. And so I was explaining this whole thing. And Reverend Maggie started telling a story about something, and I don't remember. I think she said she saw it on Saturday Night Live, which, as bizarre as it is, that's probably true. But she said she saw this thing about if this man really wanted something, so he decided to lick it like a dog would to claim it. So I'm walking. I'm walking by the apartment on that weekend, and I'm going by, and I'm thinking, looking around, you know, is there anybody who would see me? I didn't have the nerve to get down on my knees and lick, but I did. You know, so then I just kept asking for guidance. And what came to me was, make up your own rental application, because, you know, my life with my ministries and my different things, it's not just like I have a job and you make so much money. So I wrote this whole application out, and I just got very clear that this is what I really want and it should work. And some of you here I know have done the 4T program, which was one of the original 12-week commitment programs. And there's a place in there with Stretton Smith, who created it, talks about lowering the wall of resistance. That, you know, we have resistance to our good. We want something, we're really in tune with it, but we resist it. And so he says, we have to lower the wall of resistance and then just step over it. And so as I was walking over on Monday morning to meet the agent, I thought that came to me. So I just thought, okay, I'm just stepping over that. And I want this to be good for everyone. If I really can't afford this, if I would have to default on the rent or something, then it shouldn't work. And, you know, the owner, I want him to be blessed and the whole thing. So I walked in and I looked at this woman and said, I know on paper I don't qualify for this, but I want it. And I'm very confident I can pay the rent. And I pulled out my little thing and she didn't even look at it. And she said, oh, okay. And that was it. And I'm standing there thinking, this is the easiest thing I've ever done. Except the process up to it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, because it required treatment that was not optional. Now, it was optional that that might not have been the very best place. I doubt that I would have ended up in Joe and Lynn's trailer, but it was not optional that I hold the truth about it. And that's what we need to do with our spiritual mind treatments. They have to be that specific, that clear, no doubt. And it's very challenging with certain things to be able to hold to that, because the whole world is saying to us things won't work, things won't be healed. Prosperity will not flow. And I know some of you have had major demonstrations in your life of physical healings, of financial healings, of just amazing things. And then maybe something else popped up and it was harder to hold to the truth. But that truth is the truth is the truth. And it's up to us to become masters of knowing it. And that's our mission. Should you choose to accept it, your mission is to become a master of treatment. Ernest Holmes was so clear. And I was sharing with Jim this morning that the first four introductory chapters of the Science of Mind textbook, you know, right in the beginning, there's chapter one that starts with part one, but this is the introduction. If you mastered the introduction, that's all you'd really need, because it is so clear and it is so precise in there as to the process, as to his philosophy, as to how it works. And of course, he has so many wonderful books, The Thing Itself or This Thing Called You. All of those, and they all go over and talk about exactly the same thing. And then there's that wonderful book on the five steps of treatment by John Waterhouse that just so clear. What do? We honor, we recognize that there is one field of infinite loving life intelligence everywhere equally present. There is no place where God is not. And in that divine mind, everything exists as potential perfection. It is perfection ready to manifest. It is not manifest, but it is there. When we get an idea for something we want, where did that idea come from? We didn't make up the idea. The idea came. And it came to us out of our consciousness, out of who we have evolved into being in any given moment. That's how it works. But we got the idea. That's how we are one with it. We are one with it. So we recognize it. Then we unify with it. We admit that this little human I of myself am not it, but it is living and expressing through this little I, and all I have to do is surrender. Word. Isn't that surrender word interesting? I never used to be able, when I first started teaching this, I couldn't say it. I stuttered. Surrender. But a woman said to me, why don't you just unite with instead of surrender? Doesn't that make a difference? I'm not surrendered to spirit. I'm uniting with spirit. I'm uniting with that one presence, that one power that knows everything. that has everything, that knows how to bring together in some way we can never, ever understand with our human consciousness, all the right people, all the right places, all the right finances, all the right healings, everything we could ever need. It comes together. So recognize, unify, realize, and this is our job. This is where we have the work to do, to realize what we want as a done, accomplished fact. To know that there is no separation between us and that thing, except we have blocked it. Ernest Holmes used the term mental equivalent. The mental equivalent, that's what we need to embody to become in mind that which we desire, so that there is no separation. And when we have really achieved that, we have it. It may not yet have appeared, but we have it. As I was walking over to the apartment and I did that little process of stepping over, I knew the minute that I had really said with truth, if this is not right for the owner, don't let it happen. In that moment, I knew it was mine because I was totally at peace. And Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of the Unity Movement, says that the mind of peace always precedes healing or demonstration. Think about that. And if you think back on times when you've wanted something or you've been working towards something, there came a moment when you were at peace with it. You were actually at peace with not having it. And it was because you already did have it in consciousness. It was yours. You had embodied it. And that's the process. And that's when we do our treatment, we speak the word, but then we also, because we're human and because most of us, for most things, can't just do one quick treatment and say it's done, which if we would accept it would be totally sufficient. That's when we do our affirmations and our visualizations and all of the different processes that really help us bring that into our own being to make it one with us. We have realized it when we feel it, when we have really come into that feeling nature with it. And then we give thanks. We are so grateful for what we have. I am so grateful for the good. Yes, yes, yes. And do a little jig, do a little dance. You know, sometimes we have to get a little emphatic about some of this stuff. We don't have to be all serious. There's a wonderful example. Jan and John Price were early metaphysicians, and John was just an amazing person. He wrote what was the name of the book, his main book, Susan? I know you know it. Huh? Well, there's the 40 Days to Abundance, but there was another one. Yeah. But anyway, he was just an awesome teacher of truth. But he and his wife at one point decided they lived in Chicago, they wanted to move to Texas. And so they, you know, wrote out their little thing and they were going to go to Texas and all of this was going to be great. And nothing happened. And they just kept doing it and nothing happened. So one day they decided they would have a celebration welcome to Texas party. And so they got pots and pans out of their kitchen, they put on band music, and they marched around their living room banging these, "Welcome to Texas, John and Jan, welcome to Texas, John and Jan." Crazy? Maybe. But 3 days later, he got a call and got offered a job in Texas, just sort of right out of the blue. What a concept. Now, that job was floating around, waiting for someone to claim it. But they had to go through their process. That process enabled them to do things a lot more quickly in the future. They didn't maybe need to get out their pots and pans. But don't laugh and don't be shy about doing whatever comes to you to do. Because whatever it is, there is a process for you. So after you've given thanks, after you've really got into that feeling of gratitude of yes, 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 then you release it. You let it go. You say, well, okay, I've done my part. How is not our business. And this is where the human intellect drives us insane. Because most of us were raised being told, you better figure things out. I mean, I could stand here and I could hear my dad's voice in my head saying, well, kid, if you don't figure it out, who do you think is going to? And now I could laugh and say, God. But at the time, I took it all very seriously. And so when things would appear, you know, and I would want something, I'd have to think, how could that happen? How could I make that happen? Well, it's taken a lot of letting go to be able to say, I haven't a clue how to make it happen. But it doesn't matter because I don't need to know how. I just need to say, okay, I'm accepting it. It's time for me to get my good. It's time for each of us to get our good. So consider and take into your own being, look at a few times when you really did get something you wanted and look at your process that you went through and write it out so you get really clear about it. And then the next time you get into that space, look at it and think, what did I do then? And do it again and it'll work again because it's principle. And principle always works. Principle always works. Treatment is not well-wishing. Treatment is not wishful thinking. Treatment is knowing the truth and saying, yes, 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 thank you, thank you, thank you. So let's take that into a time of prayer. This is what I know. I know that that one infinite presence is the truth of each of us. In this presence, we live, move, and have our being. We dwell in it. It dwells in us, as us. It responds to every thought, to every feeling, to our consciousness. And we open ourselves more completely to the guidance of that presence. All we really have to say is, show me the way, God, Spirit, Infinite Intelligence, whatever word works for you. This is my desire. Show me the way. Knowing the blessing of Spirit flows freely. There is no lack, there is no limitation. Spirit never withholds its bounty. Spirit is always flowing freely, nudging us to open up, to receive more. Open up, receive. Just feel yourself opening to that spiritual presence. Whatever your need or desire might be today, be open. God knows how. See and feel it as an accomplished reality. Giving thanks. We are so blessed. We are so blessed.
knowing that one of the greatest ways to receive more, greater good, is to love, bless, and appreciate what we already have. We bless our lives. We bless and appreciate our bodies. We bless and appreciate the health we have, knowing that as we give thanks for that, more flows. We bless and appreciate our prosperity, knowing that we live in a sea of infinite abundance, and we allow greater good to flow to us. We bless and appreciate our loving, harmonious relationships, knowing that as we bless what we have, those relationships become even more loving, more harmonious, and we attract more loving, harmonious people into our lives. We bless and appreciate our careers, our avenues of expression, volunteer work, hobbies, knowing that as we give, we receive. We are a blessing, and we are blessed. And most of all, we give thanks for the awareness we have now of these spiritual truths and of our increased deepening awareness of them as we go forth to magnify the glory of God by accepting and experiencing ever greater good. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. Will you join me in that? I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful. I am so blessed. And so it is.